I remember seeing a patient who was lying on like a special chair because her tendons in her legs, it's like a condition where your tendons like freeze up and it's pretty much as hard as bone. Whatever force you put on it, if you try and move it, it's like you're breaking bone. The nurses didn't care. They didn't care that she had a condition. They were forcing her legs to move the way that they shouldn't be moving. When I spoke up for the patient, they were just like, go away. Like, this is our patient. We know what we're doing.
The sights Gretchen witnessed while in placement at an aged care facility mirrored those blazoned across television screens for decades. In every corner, those all too familiar narratives, the vulnerable resident at the hand of an abusive nurse.
I went home my first week and I just remember feeling, is this what I want to do with my life? Like, this is the state of nursing in Australia. Am I doing any good? Am I going to make a difference?
But the residents were by no means the only ones suffering. Having accrued years of experience working in the aged care sector, leadership facilitators Dot Yam and Tiffany Baxter understand that the ubiquity of what appears to be a devilish disregard for residents is not fueled by a lack of empathy, but rather the result of a slew of barriers burdening nurses. The pair have channeled their sympathy into practice, conducting leadership workshops for nurses struggling under the flawed system.
My name is Dot Yam.
My name's Tiffany Baxter.
I sat down with the leaders to discuss what exactly nurses face within the sector, or more specifically, what causes them to act in such questionable ways.
A lot of AINs are from another country, so English is not their first language. And as a result, their communication with the resident and with their colleagues, as well as with their families, and can cause quite a lot of miscommunication, as it were. Their training is only a few weeks, and therefore is not really long enough. Working in aged care particularly is not just looking after, you know, washing them and so on. There are other things as well. They could be have a chronic obstructive airways disease. They could be a diabetic. Patients are sicker now. People are living longer, and there's more something wrong with them as they're living longer as well. So that makes it even more stressful as a result.
Lack of communication, training in dementia and other age-related illnesses are just some issues faced. Understaffing following budget cuts to the sector has seen many nurses overworked and burnt out. According to the Australian Nursing and Midwifery Federation, 80% of over 1,000 aged care nurses surveyed in 2016 stressed that staffing levels were insufficient, preventing adequate care to residents.
Burnt out really is destruction at the soul level. So it's actually very, very deep, and is obviously it's over a long period of time. I believe that nurses, as a result of not putting themselves first, that has got a big component towards a burnout. And as a result, the symptoms of shouting at each other, horizontal violence, and as well as bullying behavior and all that, which is totally unprofessional and unacceptable. But they are so tired and vulnerable that, you know, it's beyond their control, as it were. Mm-hmm. And I totally understand that.
You know, nursing, it's 24/7. You know, nursing is day, night, all the time, you know, with an endless stream of people coming in to be cared for. So it's just, there's become like a cultural mindset within nursing that says we care for others, but we don't necessarily, you know, give that time to ourselves. And it's just become the norm, unfortunately. Self-care is not necessarily considered, and the idea of taking a break has just gone out the window.
Which is why Dot and Tiffany believe educating self-awareness and self-care is crucial to the well-being of nurses and the functionality of their respective teams and the residents.
We very much focus on supporting them to have a culture that says we care for each other, we care for ourselves, and therefore we care for the residents.
So you can appreciate that people have different belief systems around the same concept. And that's what I want to expand your awareness.
In between discussions, roundtables and some light dancing, I caught up with one of the nurses in attendance at the leader's most recent workshop, The Influential Leader at Work.
I'm really actually quite impressed that the Nurses Association has seen this as something that's quite valuable. It's really sort of stepping up to the plate a little bit rather than just accepting the little things that go on in the workplace, but actually really looking at how can I be resourceful in this situation, how can I add value? And that can only then resonate and sort of have that flow-on effect in terms of how we're dealing with our patients, how we're turning up at home, and how we're showing up in those different roles that we're the different hats that we have.
Dot and Tiffany have been actively involved with other organisations in spreading the message, such as the Australian College of Nursing, who run a fitness program called Nurse Strong, and the university sector to help educate first-year nurses on self-care practices. Ideally, Dot and Tiffany would like to see higher numbers of aged care nurses at their seminars, but they are optimistic about the future.
More and more people are coming through, but still not enough. We don't see enough, and there is certainly a momentum in nursing that is moving nursing forward in terms of advancing leadership so that they can advise quality care.
And so now we're seeing this opportunity to share self-care strategies, tools, tips.
Resilience.
Resilience.
Yeah, and prevent burnout.
Yeah, in this space that possibly hasn't been there before.